Cthulhu presents the Call of Cthulhu campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
All right, I can try to do this. So we had split up as always, and after the horn had been won at the auction, we all went to our good friend and patron, Teddy. Yeah.
Teddy Raymond Price. Yes. Your good friend.
Teddy. And he was studying the horn. He had some stuff he wanted to do, and we were trying to keep watch, but, I think at least two of us dropped off, and one was busy guarding the front door because we know that we were followed. When there was a scream, he ran off into the night. There was some kind of shadowy monster in the trees that his house backed up onto, and we found his impaled body in a tree. The police were called. No questions were answered because we didn't have any answers. But Dame Agatha, being the very smart and crafty woman she was, first took the horn and the pertinent information and hid it away, including like protective stones of some sort or charms. And we secreted the horn and the statue of Naboo in a different security box, bank security box, after we got kind of a sideways eye from the bank teller at our other bank. And we went off to a meeting with the lawyer that we met at the auction, and lo and behold, his client is our good friend, the leader of the Children of Tranquility, Azrael Hardin. Meanwhile, the other team, being the illustrious Roger, is having cat issues. He is having dreams about joining the Cult of Bast and is dealing with a woman who wants her English Abyssinian, London Abyssinians to become a registered cat breed. And there's some kind of cat war going on between her and Mr. Church. And Mr. Church is claiming that his fiance and her family were killed by Cat Lady. And the eye. It's a opal, it's a gem. The Eye of Lamashtu. And he now has to decide which of these cat fanciers he has to back. Will he try to draw us into this craziness? Go ahead, Roger, try.
I thought I already had. Wasn't someone planning to come back for me, like with me too, Mrs. Lewis's too?
You had certainly said you were going to do that, but I don't know if you had found any volunteers.
No. I'm 100% certain that Mr. Helmsworth and Miss Hall and probably Mr. Shaw were all raring and ready to go. Huh. I distinctly remember them saying that. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's fine for me. I mean,
just so that they can observe whatever terrible thing happens when I go. Observe silently from the corner.
All right then. Who would like to start? Pretty raring to go this morning.
I'm not raring today.
All right, we'll start with Jim. He seems raring. He seems fired up. Jim, what is your plan for today?
As far as I know, we are still waiting on the what's his name, the grad student to finish the translation. Did we get any update on an ETA on that?
You know what? I don't remember exactly how many days it was supposed to be, but you're persistent, so let's just reward that. So
Yes.
Let's have you you in the club, because that seems to be where you are. And the graduate student walks in. Says, I've done what I can.
It's about time. What do you have for us?
Well, it appears to be some sort of ritual of ascension. And you can, these are fairly common in this time period, you know, rituals for calling a god into a human and bringing the god back. It's a fairly common myth of at the time, and usually sort of put forward by somebody who would sort of point to themselves as the obvious candidate to have the god inhabit them. It requires a certain amount of formality and rituals. I've provided some notes on what those might look like here. There's mention of a feast of souls. And the end result of all this is for Nabu to return to lead his people to glory.
It's not what I had expected.
Oh,
just so that the player is clear. Yeah. He was translating the writing that Roger had copied off of a
couple of scrolls, and then had scrolls, because he poorly performed some translations, the scrolls end up on his flesh.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, it's so true. From Punchin. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely Punchin that you're that these scrolls are related to.
Okay. Well, excellent work, young man. I'm sure Mr. Helmsworth can take it from here.
Yes, there's a small matter of my payment, and he slides a piece of paper with a bill on it.
Yes, as I said, I'm sure Mr. Helmsworth can take it from here.
I'm going to give this to you, sir. Yes, Mr. Helmsworth is perhaps sleeping in or something. I don't...
Sure.
No, he's right there.
Oh, he's right there. Oh, good. excellent.
And that small dog of his.
Yes, he will hand the... We'll be rolling a disadvantage for stealth with the small dog carrying. Yes, he will slide the bill over to Mr. Helmsworth there. Welcome, Mr. Helmsworth. Is there anything else you need done?
Not for now. I believe that covers it. If there is, I trust we can contact you again at some point in the future.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's always interesting to read these things. It's well, anyway, you have my translation. And, yes.
Good day to you, sir.
And you. He will wander on out.
So that out of the way. Schindler has always kind of assumed that Helmsworth is going to deal with that, just because that seems more up his alley. Hmm. But in general, Roger does want to return to Mrs. Lewis today.
Sure.
He just hasn't exactly figured out how to approach this yet.
Hmm. Well, perhaps I'll take a small, brief reprise from talking to you and move over to the lawyer's office there.
Oh, thank you.
Although chronologically, it's out of whack, because I think they're in the lawyer's office at 3 in the afternoon. So, sort of recapping what you did. But in the meantime, at the law offices of Bailey, Finkel, and Willowberry, Sir Hardin Bailey has opened up his office to you and to Azar Hewden, who you've met a couple of times now. He is dressed immaculately again.
Excellent.
Chairs are brought in.
He says, Mr. Hewden, I was wondering if you were in the back of all this.
Well, yes, we, I think my presence would have been disruptive at the auction. It was determined by our leadership that the best way forward would be to have an intermediary with such a sterling reputation as Sir Bailey here.
But apparently not enough backing.
I had no idea that there would be that much interest in it, unfortunately. But I'm pleased to hear that you actually were able to scrounge up the funds for it. It's a hopeful sign as compared to others who may have had designs on it. Before I forget, I am very sorry to hear about the death of your colleague, Mr. Hamilton. And of course, the world is poorer without the scholarly writings of Mr. Rayborn Price.
You are well informed.
He kind of smiles and says, well, yes, we're obviously interested in all that's going on. And I'm hoping that you now realize the danger you're placing yourselves in by continuing to press on these issues. It's obvious that there are forces here that are aimed against you. I'm hoping that, in fact, I hesitate to do this, but I must even insist that you give me the horn and the statue before events get out of hand.
That's very cute.
Cute. You can see him sort of running through the word in his head
Yeah, I'm going to just make sure that my hand is near my gun. Not on it, but near it, just in case.
I don't think I understand the use of the word cute there, but I...
Your choice of the word insist, as if you have some... I don't know, rights or ability, or I'm not sure what you mean by insist.
He sort of relaxes a little bit and says, I don't know if you understand how much I've been working in your interests. The followers of Amnesassi have been working for over 2,000 years to keep these relics of Naboo safe.
We failed.
And yes, we have failed now, but we will take measures necessary to rectify the situation. And there are others above me who are advocating a more energetic response. I'm perhaps insist is the wrong word, but I can tell you right now that there are those who will take any measures necessary to continue in our sacred mission.
And again, what do you plan to do with these things? Just set them back in a tomb and wait for them to get robbed again?
The whole point is to keep these artifacts away from those who would misuse them. It would be contrary to our interest to tell you what we were going to do with them, other than to say that we will take renewed efforts to keep these out of the hands of those who would misuse them.
And what would you deem as misuse?
We have no idea why these things are happening, but clearly there are events happening right now that are of a more sinister nature. I don't really want to go into the details of all that they're planning again, because the more you know, the more, well, honestly, the more risk there is.
I think we've seen considerable risk, and I think our involvement here gives us a right to know why we should trust you and continue, you know, to have dealings with you. I don't feel reassured.
I agree, and I think this idea that somehow ignorance brings safety is rather out of date.
Yes, more information is always better than less.
I have told you what I can tell you. I have.
You told us what you will tell us at the moment. You'll have free will, perhaps, to make choices. And
I've told you what I am allowed to tell you based on the vows I have taken.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I will not supersede those vows. As much as I admire the work you have done to date, I must simply once again say, please, 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 I need you to give me those artifacts.
I'm not.
You can be handsomely paid for it. If it's money is a problem here, we can certainly reimburse you. If you're worried about, you know, the museum losing out, we can find other artifacts to give the museum that would be of a similar value. And whatever's keeping you from just simply giving us these things, we can.
You know, it's the worst, the very worst of things, I believe, is keeping at least me from just giving them to you. And that is this just really unbearable curiosity. And that seems to be the one thing you are unwilling to pay us, to pay off.
He sighs and Bailey sort of leans in and says, well, I think we've reached an impasse here. My client seems to, for his own reasons, not want to give you information, which I don't disagree you might be entitled to, but there we are.
Well, you could perhaps give us 24 hours to talk amongst ourselves, figure out what we'd like to do, and obviously we'd prefer to talk in private, if that's, you know, I assume that after 4,000 years or whatever it's been, that a day or two is not going to end the world.
Sir Bailey, yes, no, of course. The offer's on the table continuously. I'm just saying that for this conversation, it doesn't feel like we're going to move forward. But if you reconsider, or I will ask my client here to also reconsider what he might be able to tell you now that he knows what your general terms are, we might be able to reach a satisfying conclusion for all concerned.
Wonderful. That would be very nice. Before somebody else ends up dead.
Everybody stands up and starts shaking hands or nodding and all these things, blah, blah, blah.
The great British nod off.
Exactly. And you realize you probably should get ready for the funeral dinner that's happening tonight at the club.
Yes.
In the meantime, let's go back in time to find out what happened with Roger.
The other funeral.
Well,
oh, wait.
So having dealt with the grad student and seen that Mr. Helmsworth had his translations to figure out whatever he's going to do with the ritual, and I don't know, that's occult stuff. That's not my problem. Roger will have lunch.
Oh, okay.
And then. Perhaps a drink after lunch.
It's a small thing.
You know, just to kill time to bring us to the mid-afternoon. considering all the while the best way to approach Mrs. Lewis, and having still not come up with anything, will simply make his way out to Croydon. And right, wing it.
Excellent. Will he be accompanied by Mr. Helmsworth?
Yes.
Excellent. You are able to make your way out to Upper Norworth and Croydon. And, again, knock on the door. The servant answers the door. She is did you have an appointment?
Mrs. Lewis is expecting me.
Oh, very well. both of you can give me a spot hidden roll.
Mm,
98
is a failure.
90 is also a failure.
Perfect.
Got in my eye.
She leads you into the drawing room again. She's a bit busy. I'll go and get her.
Yes, thank you.
As you are there, there are again, you know, there's a selection of photographs of cats, paintings by Lewis Wayne, porcelain statuettes of cats. It's just all over the place. There are cats
wondering. Cat-eye opals sitting around on the mantle?
No, or? No. Strangely enough, there's nothing like that sitting up there.
Couldn't be that easy. Fair enough.
Why don't you each give me another spot hidden roll?
Awaiting? Sure.
18, yeah. Normal success.
I will burn one lock to make it a success.
Both of you then, looking out sort of at some point, look out. I'll give Roger with his normal success. Out in the back of the woods, there's trees. Every now and then you see this sort of flash of light out there. It's light with vivid colors moving around, you know, light with different colors sort of moving around in the shadows. Okay. And Mr. Helmsworth, what draws your attention is that there is a bare spot in the garden out in one of the flower beds. There are cats sunning themselves on it. A couple of them sort of poking around into it. The garden is otherwise, you know, well maintained. There are, you know, grasses and flowers, but there is a long stretch, maybe about 6 feet long stretch of bare dirt there.
Okay. I'm seeing this through the window, you said? Or?
Yes, so through the looking out into the back garden from the drawing room.
Okay. All right. If George is close by, I will just, you know, point my hand in that direction so you can also see it.
Fair enough.
I wonder who she has buried in her garden.
And at this point, Mrs. Lewis Wan comes in. Again, she is a small of height woman. Her clothing is a little bit out of date. She wears a little bit too much makeup. She's so wonderful, wonderful. It's so good. Roger, you've brought a friend. Hello there. I'm Edith Lewis, and you are?
Mr. Hemsworth, pleasure to meet you.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, please sit down. Martha, would you bring us some tea and cookies? Yes, yes. Well, I I'm wondering, Roger, if you've had the opportunity to write the letter we discussed.
Yes, I have written such a letter. I have also met with Mr. Church directly. And I believe you can be assured that the appropriate actions will be taken as regards your London Abyssinians.
Oh. Oh, you think he's changed his mind?
Well, as I said, I'm quite certain he will be taking the appropriate action.
I don't quite know what you mean by that, sir. I don't. Will he be supporting the listing or not?
That depends a great deal upon you, I am afraid, Mrs. Lewis.
On me? Well, yes. I don't know why that would be. Did you write to Sir Desmond?
Yes.
Oh, good, 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 good. And so that's well in the way. Oh, good, good. Every letter counts there. That I'm curious, what is it Mr. Church wants? I mean, I believe he owes me an apology, not the other way around. But
well, be that as it may, that is not for me to decide. It is less what Mr. Church wants than what myself and Mr. Helmsworth are interested in, I am afraid.
Oh?
Yes, you are in possession of a certain gem, which we wish to acquire from you. We'll pay you appropriately for it, of course.
Gem. I'm afraid I don't have any such gem.
Please, Mrs. Lewis. Mm. The time for prevarication.
Get a room.
Has passed.
You can roll psychology.
See how she reacts to this. And that is a success.
I get an extreme success on psychology.
So on a regular success, you are sure that she is not lying to you, that she does not have a gem. But with an extreme, you're sure that she's not telling you the whole story.
Right. Whether you are in possession of it or not, you at least know of its whereabouts, I am certain. A certain cat's eye opal that was recently stolen, borrowed, lifted in some way from the British Museum, known as the Eye of Lamashtu. We do know that it has made your way into your possession at some point recently.
Well, and where did you hear that?
That is for our own agents to understand, Mrs. Lewis.
Well,
where the information came from is not important. The information, however, we are quite certain is genuine and correct. So please either produce the gem and we will negotiate a fair price for it, or direct us to its current location or its current owner if it has already moved on, and we shall negotiate a fair price for the information.
Go ahead and give
and
me.
You can be quite certain that the results of the vote as to your London Abyssinians are well tied up into this matter, I am afraid.
Wow. I was going to do persuasion, and then you just outright lied. So,
I didn't lie. The amount of my support for London Abyssinians is directly tied to this.
Go ahead and give
matter.
Me a persuasion roll, then.
Oh, thank God. Ooh, boom. 13. I'm going to spend the 3 points of luck required to make that an extreme success.
She sort of leans back. At this point, Martha brings in the tea. She pours it out because, of course, you must take care of the tea. And she leans back and says, I don't have what you're looking for anymore. It was stolen from me.
That tracks with certain other artifacts that have been taken from the museum. When was it stolen, Mrs. Lewis?
Oh, it was, I know who has it.
Oh, well, that is remarkably convenient. The name, please.
You've already met him, Philip Church.
I see. Do I need another psychology roll here?
You can if you want.
I roll as well.
50. Success. Spot on. Nope. Definitely normal success.
Yep. No. She is not lying.
Okay.
Mr. Church has it now. I would be pleased if you would bring it back to me.
When did Mr. Church acquire it?
Two, 3 weeks ago, maybe. I was, I did have it, and I guess I wouldn't say that in front of a law officer, but I'll tell you, because obviously, well, we understand each other, sir. I did have it. I was fascinated by it and thought I would be able to help Mr. Wayne, among others, with it. And then Mr. Church stole it from me.
And how do you know that it was Mr. Church?
Oh. This won't make sense to you, but I'll simply say I know that he has been able to draw upon its properties.
Is that the reason that is keeping you from taking it back from him?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is that the reason that is keeping you from taking this object back from him?
Oh, yes. He has used it to create fearful things. I've only brought in the world, experimented in the ways of benefiting the world. But he is he's definitely... definitely used it for nefarious purposes. He's gone, I think, a little mad with the power of it all, which is why I would like to receive it back again and try to fix some of the damage he's done.
We'll see.
So, given this information, and thinking back for a moment on my meeting with Mr. Church yesterday, does this recontextualize anything he told me? It's like, oh yeah, well of course he was lying, and I just missed it yesterday, or?
Yes.
Okay.
You are. As you think about it, you think about the answers he gave, and the roles you failed. You are. you are quite sure that you missed certain things he was saying.
This is deeply annoying.
Well, that's why investigators travel in packs. So they can all roll things.
Well, thank you for your assistance, Mrs. Lewis. As I said, you can be sure that the appropriate support for your London Abyssinians will be given. One last question, if I may. just a point of minor curiosity. Who is it that is buried in your garden?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just there, the gravesite that...
it's not a gravesite. I'm planting new plants out there.
Question for the keeper.
Yes.
I missed that previous session. So do we know how she got into possession of this gem and how she has learned to use it?
We know how that information. We know how she got it, yeah.
Okay. There was we know how she learned to use it?
That I don't think we know.
Okay. No, you don't know that part.
All right. I will wait to see how she reacts to the whole murder in the backyard thing.
She has reacted.
I didn't say the word murder.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Very good. Just one question. How did you learn to use the gem?
Oh, well, I don't have any formal training, if that's what you're asking. I simply, I spoke to it and it spoke to me, and over time we reached an understanding.
All right. From an occult perspective, I kind of know that it makes sense in a way. So I'll just go with it. Very good. I'm curious on how this man started to use it in such a powerful way that you weren't able to. Maybe the gem decides to speak more freely with him than with you. Have you considered that?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The gem speaks to me even now. Even though I don't have it in my possession, I can still hear it. I can still speak with it. I still am aware of it.
What is it asking of you?
Oh, it wants me to return to Bass to her state of glory again, of course.
I see.
And she looks meaningfully at you, Roger, when she says this.
Yeah. Well, we will see what can be done.
Oh, I hope indeed you'll take advantage of her offer. If you could find the gem, bring it back to me, I would fix the damage he's been doing. And everything would be where it should be.
Yes,
I do hope I can rely on you. You seem like a man of integrity.
Sure.
Well, Mr. Helmsworth, I believe we have another stop to make.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Good day, Mrs. Lewis.
Indeed. She stands up and watches you leave. Can you each give me spot hidden rolls?
81, not a success.
Nope. Perfect. We'll jump. So you guys got out here mid-afternoon thing. It's a bit of a trip to get out here. Are you going to Mr. Church's now? You might miss the memorial service if you did, or at least be late for it.
This is the memorial service for
Theodore Raymond Price.
His name? Okay.
It's a service and dinner, if that makes a difference, Roger.
It kind of does, but as you did say, it's a long trip out here. So if we went back, then we just have to make the trip again tomorrow versus just being out here.
That's entirely up to you.
Yes, I would just assume. Perhaps we might end up a little bit late for the service, but I believe it is worth the time to go.
All right.
Some of those grace, Mr. Church.
Let's jump back briefly, perhaps, to the other group. Is there anything you want to do between, let's say, around 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock?
What are we going to do?
In some ways, it seems nice to get it off our hands and be done with it all. It's really been quite, but I do so want to unravel this mystery.
Well, if I felt more confident that the Children of Tranquility were really advocating for tranquility.
I mean, I do trust them, or him at least, as far as his stated mission, and also I guess I would say that I trust him in that I believe that members of his order may well get quite violent to take it back.
I believe that too.
And I don't have any reason to believe that they have nefarious motives. And
but do we have any reason to not suspect them of such?
Reasons to not suspect them are very hard to come by. But I don't have any reasons to suspect them.
Right.
Whereas there are certainly others who are in fact up to making trouble.
But we know that we are actually trying to defuse this situation, and it seems like the price of making the wrong choice could be really catastrophic.
I do agree with that, and I don't know that we know that we're... I frankly don't know really what we're doing at all. But I'm glad that you think that...
We're
doing something to help the world. I think that's important. I just...
Well, perhaps we can discuss it at the dinner and get everybody's perspective. I don't know. I don't know.
Wonderful idea. Yes, I'm sure Roger won't miss a dinner. I'm sure we'll see everybody there.
Do you think Connor's gotten over malaria yet? Decision is indecision.
All right. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at indecision, and we'll briefly go back to Croydon.
Quick question, if I may.
Always.
Going back to my question about recontextualizing what Mr. Church had said. Mm-hmm. So would I then also be wanting to assume that it was not Mrs. Lewis that killed the people? I think it was Church said it was like his fiancée and her mother or something like that. But it was actually Church himself.
I don't remember all the roles you made and didn't make. I know there was a critical role where you did do well, and I went, okay. I would say that there's nothing in your years of being an alienist, there's nothing about his grief that struck you as being insincere. Now, somebody could have grief about something they did, but there's nothing about his grief that made you feel like I'm just pretending and I'm glad she's dead.
Okay. Okay. I think I have a concept here. So yeah. To Mr. Church.
All right. Again, he has a, it's the next town over, Sutton. Oddest looking house. And go ahead and give me yet another spot hidden roll. You can fail.
That's very nice of you, allowing failure. That is what has happened for me. Oh, good job. Well done, Mr. Hemsworth.
Now, Mr. Hemsworth, as you start to approach the house, you know, there are more cats on the street than you might expect.
Well, we're in trouble.
And the cats are all sort of, they're walking around doing cat-like things, but
mm-hmm.
they're clearly watching Mr. Church's house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you needn't worry, Mr. Helmsworth. I'm sure the the cats are on our side.
Well, if he's in possession of this gem, I doubt that they will be on our side.
Go ahead. Are you just approaching the door?
Yep.
Go ahead and give me a party luck roll, which more of a party luck roll now that there's two of you.
I'm at 33.
46. But let me. You can roll.
Yeah.
70 is more than 33.
70 is a lot more than 30, and there's you knock and knock and nobody answers.
Unlucky and a street full of cats. Very good.
Are there any lights on or anything like that? Does it look like
no.
somebody's just not answering it's the door, or does it look
not
like
answering the door? Yeah.
Okay. Well, look around. So that we know where he might have gone.
Get out of the house. Steal a gem. Call it a good night.
Do we go in?
We'll try the door.
It's locked.
And look at Roger. Do we go in?
I'll be honest, I am uncertain. It seems likely that the gem is not. I'm as a player making an assumption here. I don't know if we have any knowledge of this one way or the other. Please correct me if so, Mr. Your Kind Keeper. Yes. I'm assuming the gem is portable. I can't imagine something so valuable.
Yeah, it's been described. I mean, it's not like, you know, the gem on a wedding ring. It's, you know, fit in the palm of your hand type thing. Sure.
But it's not like a huge crystal ball size.
No.
Okay.
And in fact, now that you've had a moment to think about this and sort of put the lies, you do remember that while you were talking to him, Mr. Church did have his hand in his pocket. Sort of a.
Yes, I would imagine that wherever Mr. Church is, he has brought it with him. I can't imagine he would leave such a thing unattended at home.
What if we go in, we wait for him? He's very dangerous anyways. And I'm guessing that he's not going to willingly give us the gym. So
How do you propose we enter the house?
I'll try.
Is there perhaps a back door? I don't know.
There is a back door. Oh. All
right.
Is there an open window? Not that Roger's going to climb through an open window, but.
go ahead and give me a luck roll.
Oh, good God.
Body luck roll again?
Sure.
Nope. Back door it is.
Back door there is. Yep.
Try the door.
It's locked. Go ahead and give me spot hidden rolls.
There a key under a nearby stone? I don't spot anything.
That's yes. fine. You can look around for it if you think of it. That's fine.
Yes.
Excellent idea, Mr. Helmsworth. Try the key in the door.
It unlocks it.
Well, at least we're going to be safe from the cats.
I'm going to sort of, as we go in, hold the door open for a moment and look about. Are the cats following us? Are they like headed in this direction? Like, hey, can we come in too? Or
no, but as you sort of go around the backyard and sort of now that you're aware of them, you realize there are cats nearby who are also watching. They're not looking to come in. They're clearly watching the house.
Would any of you care to come join us? Perhaps wait for Mr. Church inside with us, whatever your purpose is. No? Very well, as you wish.
Don't call the cats. Don't call the cats. Just get in.
Too late. I already have. But
give me a spot hidden roll.
God.
I know.
95. Nope. Still not.
Perfect.
80. Failure.
Perfect. Yep.
Go in and close the door.
Go in and close the door. That sounds great.
We don't see the spot in the garden where the cats have already killed and buried him.
No, there was no spot in the garden where the cats and killed and buried him.
Okay. Close the door.
Yeah. I generally don't like... Well, what are you all doing here?
Well, as Mr. Helmsworth said, I think we are simply going to wait for Mr. Church's return.
Yeah, and, you know, while we wait, we can go around, see if he's got any notes about his doings recently.
Sure. You're going to look around the house a little bit?
Yep.
Okay. Can you each give me spot hidden rolls?
Hey, finally.
Me too.
Hard success.
Normal success.
As you're looking around, there's something glowing in the shadows, and I'd ask all the other players to leave. We'll let you know when to come back.
No fun. No problem.
Okay.
Hold up that guy. I'll figure out how this works here. Go. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Well, we can still see you, but that's fine. Yeah. All right. So, Roger and Montgomery, as you are looking, both of you notice that the shadows around you look strange. There's sort of this, and as you're staring into the darkness, you suddenly see this sort of capturing of the light, and it looks like there are claws dripping with blood. So we will go in dex order here as these creatures that have been stalking you since you entered inside here. They look, their heads are lions, and their otherwise human hands are tipped with sharp, cruel claws. Dex order. I'm assuming Randall's isn't great.
No, he's actually Haggard and Jean.
Oh, that's true. Yes. What is your? yours is 70. That's pretty good. Not as good as theirs.
So let's see.
Well, they go first. Sorry.
All right.
They have a dex of 87, so they're going to leap at you from the darkness. A 0-1 for the first attack and a miss on the second attack. So, I'm going to have Roger be odd and, Montgomery be even as I roll. Even. That's fascinating. Okay. What a weird.
No, too many, too many.
Well, it's so weird. It says 1d6 plus 2d6. I'm not sure what that comes out to, but that's 11.
11 points, and he drops.
All right.
With 0 points of hit points left.
All right, Roger.
Yes.
What would you like to do?
Run.
Mr. Helmsworth has been attacked, and what's that?
Run for the door. Or yeah, hobble for the door. Or
what's your speed?
5.
Oh, there's this 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I didn't expect to actually get there, but you know, Roger's all right. Not gonna stand and fight these things. Don't be ridiculous.
No, I don't know. Well, as it turns out that
Yeah, Roger's headed for the door.
Roger's headed for the door. So I'm gonna give them each one chance to get at you with their fighting. All right. Ooh, that's a 92. That's good luck. No, that's a hit, though. Oh, decent. Sorry. 10.
10, you say?
I do say 10.
94 on my constitution roll, as I have 1 hit point left.
Okay. Well, what I would suggest is we'll go back.
I'm pretty sure it's 0 hit points here or less shortly. So
yeah, I would suggest you all figure out what your next characters will look like.
Fair enough.
There was a whole moment where I was like trying to say, like, I was like, okay, do I warn them about going into the house? I'm like, no, that's not how this works. So, Roger may not be dead. Roger may not be dead, but Helmsworth, you are definitely dead. If you want to be the graduate student, that would be fine. Or if you want to be a member,
I can be club, that guy. I can be that graduate student. Yeah, right, to so make things easier.
Roll that up, and we'll let everybody know they can come back. All righty. Who's back? Jim and Randall, are you still there? Can you still hear me?
I am still here, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm back.
They're not here yet.
All right. Good, good, good. I mean, not good that they're not here, but good that I'm not sort of lost.
Can you hear me?
We can now. Thank you.
I'm back.
Okay, cool.
All right. So the dinner party.
Yep.
Let's go to the dinner party. Yes, it is. It is a nice affair. It's not quite as lavish as the last one of these that you went to. Lord Brightman was a lord after all, and Teddy Raymond Price is a nice guy, but not a lord. There are, you know, it's a sit-down dinner again. There are, you know, various toasts being given. Less orchestrated than perhaps the last one was, in terms of, like, you know, the last one, the president was the only one who spoke.
How is my hair all fixed?
Yes, your hair's all good. Are any of you feeling like you want to give a toast, or trying to keep a low profile here?
Low profile for sure.
Yeah. Probably best.
Do I see, oh, what was the guy's name?
Not the guy that was kicked out, but
his buddy
Gato.
Delgato.
Do I see Delgato there?
You do. You sort of recognize him, but yes, he's there. He's well dressed. He's sitting at a table with.
I'm going to keep an eye on him and who he's with for sure during the evening.
Well, he is with Odie Mortimer, and Malfalda Violette, both of whom were at the auction with you.
Mm-hmm.
Odie was the one who was kicked out of the club.
He was, for supposedly stealing, although there was some thought that perhaps he was taking the fall for somebody. They're sitting there, and Mafalda is clearly cozying up to him in a girlfriendy type style. Okay. The other person who's here, sitting up in the head table area, is Neve. She is dressed all in black. She has a little veil on. Occasionally the toast sort of acknowledge her, that Teddy was her fiance. Yeah.
Oh.
You knew that, actually.
Oh.
He had perhaps in a session you missed, but he had said that she had done him the honor of agreeing to be his wife.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we can give her back the statue.
Yeah. See if she can give it to some other schmucks. Try to wait till after dinner so that we can condole her.
Yeah. She's definitely sort of open to being consoled. And she will obviously recognize you and sort of, I had hoped that I would be seeing you in much more happier circumstances. Oh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. How are you bearing up?
It's hard. I miss him. We had just barely sort of found each other, and now he's gone. I don't know what to say.
Where have you been?
Oh, I've been at his estate. He has a place up country. I've been there, and the two of us were quite happy together. He was still doing research, but obviously we were spending time together, getting to know each other, and then,
shocking.
Yes. Well. I understand that you were there.
Yes, although I must admit that I wasn't watching at the time.
Oh.
I feel horrible, like if I could have just been on my guard.
Oh, I wouldn't blame yourself. I think that Teddy knew what he was doing when he got into this, hopefully his sacrifice will be of meaning. I'm actually a bit torn. I do want you to ask you to keep looking into this to try to find out what had happened, but I also recognize that there's a grave danger in pushing in these matters.
Yes. Had he been in contact with anybody that you knew of about these things?
Oh, he had a wide array of people that he was in contact with about things. I could try to get you some names and send them to the club if you were interested.
I think that might be helpful. Did he seem to be afraid of anyone or anything?
I don't, not afraid of the situation, I believe, is would be accurate, but I don't know of any particular person he was afraid of.
That doesn't surprise me. He was always so brave.
Oh, indeed, indeed. It's one of the things I loved about him.
Didn't we all?
Well, again, I'd hope to see you under happier circumstances, but, well,
indeed.
I mean, if there's anything you need, and she will, I'm staying in town, she'll give you the name of a hotel. I'm staying in town for a few days, and then I will be heading back up to the estate. I don't even think I'm in his will, but his family has been more than generous.
Oh. I'll just squeeze her hand and give her a hug.
She will sort of wander off to sort of talk to others.
Wow.
Yeah. The mystery, y'all. I wonder if he has a bunch of much information up at the estate, if he's been doing a lot of work.
Well, did you get a chance to flip through his notes there that you took out of the house?
Undoubtedly. Perhaps.
And at some point, Alyosis Delago will wander up to you all.
Oh, very good. That'll be fun.
And I don't know if we've had the pleasure of a formal introduction.
I don't believe we have.
Actually, I will ask, Mr. Nichols, have you met him before?
I don't think so. Don't recall.
Okay, you just sort of seen him. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't. I knew Teddy somewhat well. Obviously, a member of the club and all that. But apparently, you all were in and around when he passed. It's terrible business. Terrible business.
Indeed, indeed. I didn't realize our interests in artifacts overlapped.
Yeah, nor did I. Apparently you managed to acquire the horn at the auction, and he will give a withering look towards Odie.
Oh, you shouldn't blame him. We had the interest of the museum at heart.
Oh, are you planning on selling it to the museum?
It will eventually end up there, I suspect, yes.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to psych on him because I feel like he just started planning how to steal it from there. and that will be a great relief from him. Oh, there it is. 56 is a success.
So I'm going to say my next sentence, and I'm going to let you hold that psych to use after I say the sentence.
Okay.
When he says, well, you know, if you were still, if you were interested, I'd be happy to take it off your hands for a much more sizable price. I didn't realize that there'd be that much interest in it. I'd be willing to give you, twice what you paid for it, and be willing to make a half that contribution to the museum if you wanted.
Where was that money? Yeah,
what would you like to use the psych for, if anything? You can just sort of hold it.
I mean, obviously, yeah, obviously he wants it a lot. Well, I will ask him. I say, yeah, so where was the money last night at the auction? Why are you forced to come asking around for seconds, so to speak?
He will again look at Odie and say, it turns out that the person I trusted in this matter did not bring enough funding with him to match your bid. Had he spoken with me beforehand, I would have told him exactly that the price should be no object. He should bring. But Odie looks crestfallen at this. Like, oh.
What is your interest in this horn?
Oh, I'm deeply, deeply interested in occult objects. And
why this one? There's so many.
Well, in this particular case, it's because I had some idea of the danger it posed. Is poor
Teddy. Danger?
Teddy was well learned, but I don't think he truly understood the power of these artifacts. And again, I don't wish to speak ill of the recently passed, but his lack of skill in these arts.
So you were trying to get it to help the world in some way, to keep it safe.
There are certain rituals one should cast before using the horn. Without those rituals being cast, it is
what would you do with the horn? That's what I don't understand. I mean, it all seems like such a lot of nonsense, to be frank. But what would you do with this horn?
Oh, I'm a collector.
No. You just talked about casting rituals. Don't give me this nonsense about being a collector.
Well, I am a collector, and I recognize it's danger, and they're not incongruent as to say that I wish to sort of take the bullets out of the gun, if you will, before I put it up
you
on my.
You said you wanted to cast some rituals. What rituals are you trying to cast? What are you going to do with this thing? I really must know.
I'm trying to tell you that, as I just said, that using this horn, experimenting with it, as I'm sure that Teddy did, without casting the rituals to disengage its power, will lead to disaster as it did. I am trying
to... I understand all of that. It's very clear. You've been very clear.
That's the rituals I'm speaking of.
But what would you do with the horn?
I would put it on a mantle and admire it.
This is what I would like to use my psych roll for.
I mean, so part of it is he is a collector, and
of course he is. Yeah.
But there's more that he wants to do with it than just sit on a mantle and admire it.
Exactly.
And he's not willing to talk about it, obviously. And do I get any possible sense of, like, does he seem like he's excited? Is he feeling power hungry or greedy, or, you know, like, do I get any sense of, you know, him thinking about what he's actually going to do with this thing? Or what the effects of him, maybe it's, yeah, what the effects of him doing something would be, not necessarily, like, not specifically which things he's going to cast, obviously, but just
right. Yeah, no, I get you. He is, and you rolled a regular success?
Yeah, wasn't that good?
Yeah. So, I mean, you got that he wants more than he doing it. He is eager to get it, but it's hard to tell. Is it the eagerness of a collector, or is it eagerness of something else? He says, "It's clearly, I maybe you don't understand that I in the circles I run with, an object like this would be of great value. I'll tell you what. Would you be willing to come to my house tomorrow night? I'm having a soiree of others who are interested in these occult matters, and I'd love for you to be my guest."
I would be interested, especially to see this collection that you have.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating.
Excellent. He will hand his card over to Mr. Nichols. It's 7 o'clock. It's not black tie, but please dress up a bit. And yes, I think once you see my collection, once you see my interest and see my friends, you'll understand why it is that we're this object here is just so fascinating in so many different ways.
And this is not Delgato, but the other guy, right?
No, this is Delgato.
This is Delgato. Delgato. Okay.
Yep.
You know, you're not the only one to ask us to or to offer us a significant sum for the horn.
Oh, really? Are there other collectors?
I would say many of the people who were there at the auction also felt like they had missed an opportunity.
Well, I mean, any collector would be who understands these things would be would once they understand what's going on, probably we're probably having a sort of I don't know what the opposite of buyer's remorse, not buyer's remorse, about not getting it.
Sense of loss.
Sense of loss, indeed. I'd be very surprised if there weren't many people coming up to you with more offers.
Hmm.
But I'm offering you a way of not only knowing that you're, you know, making some money off it and perhaps benefiting the museum if that's of interest to you, but also being assured that the artifact is disarmed.
My eyebrows go up when he says disarmed.
Yeah.
Well,
so afterwards, I don't want to lose this thought, but I will communicate when we're not with him.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding is that this artifact is supposed to be defending the tomb and its goods, and therefore disarming it presumably would mean making those items more available, as in less secure. Could be completely wrong, obviously, but that's my initial thought on this disarm thought. It will make things safer for people who are interested in theft and whatnot. But we can go back to real time if we want to.
All right. Mr. Kelly, we haven't heard much from you. What are you doing during this event? Barely met Mr. Price, so.
Okay, so I actually don't know what he'd be doing. I mean, if he got invited, he would basically just be sitting off to the side, you know, with the group, but, you know, being fairly quiet, just observing people.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching and looking. And just listening to the conversations, listening to the talk about the whole artifact and everything, and you know, trying to work out what we're going to do with this stuff.
Sure.
Basically, I think.
Okay. Are there any other, you sort of wander around, there are other club members who will sort of, you know, speak with you. At some point over having a conversation, you'll see Patrick Lungton, who is the curator at the museum.
Oh, yes.
He'll sort of wave at you in a conversation. And
head over?
Oh, he will... Oh, I good to see you all. Good to see you all. You haven't seen you at the museum in a bit.
We have been busy.
Yes. Well, I you sort of lean in. I understand that you acquired a certain relic that my understanding is it'll make its way to the museum.
I believe that is the plan, yeah.
Part of the purpose. Keep them safe.
Excellent. When do you think we might be able to get it back again?
Yeah. As I was telling somebody else who's interested in it, you said back, did you?
I keep saying that.
He didn't say that ever. Okay.
As a keeping mistake. Yeah.
As I was saying somebody else, you know, with these things that have been around for so many thousands of years, it does seem like there's no particular rush, but.
Oh, that's fine. Yes, yes. But just want to check in to see if it was.
What is your understanding of this, specific interest in this particular item?
What do you know of it? Yes.
Oh, I don't know much about it at all. I understand it's from the temple. It was one of the objects that was not properly cataloged, and one can argue about that, but obviously you acquired it through fair and honest means, so there's no legal issue involved. You're not.
Are we possessors of stolen goods of some sort?
Well, no. As I said, the horn isn't. I mean, there are other artifacts that are missing from the museum that clearly are the museum's property.
Yes.
I don't assume you have any of those, though, he says, chuckling.
No, of course not.
Yes, I don't know much other than it was another object from the temple, and I think we're moving quite along with our exhibit at the museum, and it would be one more thing to help out.
So just one of many. Nothing particularly special.
No.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think a fair amount of work to do to figure it out.
I think Maud would like to make a psych check on him.
Please do.
Oh, I do. I know at 5. I'm shocked.
Yeah, he seems to not know anything about the thing other than it's part of the things that were taken from the temple.
Fair enough. Good.
At least one innocent-ish guy.
Still greedy for things that don't belong to him, really, but.
Yeah, well, you know.
But who isn't, really? Who isn't? Yeah.
Where the deuce is Roger?
It's unlike him to miss a meal like this. And, Mr. Helmsworth as well. I'm sure we'll see them tomorrow. Party?
Do you know where they went?
I believe it was something with this cat lady.
Yeah, he's got himself entangled in some cat fancier club.
I don't know what
could be less useful.
Oh, it's not fun to make fun of. Well, anyway.
But Roger did mention the whole thing about the Eye of Lamashtu. And
yes.
Yeah, there was a briefing before he went off today.
Yeah, we just I think would have no idea that it's with Church as opposed to
right.
That lady,
but you do know that Roger met with Church.
Yes.
Yesterday, and that it was Church who said that Lewis had the eye, and that's why they were going back to Lewis to retrieve it.
Perhaps we should ask the curator there about this Eye of Lamash too.
Oh, he might know something about it. That would be interesting. Because that was perhaps something from the collection as well, no?
Yeah, it was on that list of stolen items.
Oh, yes. That's a fine idea.
Yeah, so we'll go back and...
Should we check, you know, where they went? Because your friend had a card, didn't he? Well...
Roger, yeah, he was going to, I believe he was going to see Mrs. Lewis this morning. And, but he didn't seem to have any idea what his plan was.
Well, let's give him time. You know, if it got past a certain time, he probably just, you know, tucked
what,
in somewhere.
Yes, I'm sure generally he's not starving.
I thought generally he would be here, but I didn't sound by what I've taken from your friend.
Yes. But, yes.
But I do like your suggestion about, seeing if the curator knows anything about the Eye of, what was it, Lamashtu?
Lamashtu. So, yeah.
Well, how about if you guys look at that and, you know, I can just go and follow up these addresses, just take a look around, see if I can see his car or either of them.
Sure, if you'd be willing to, that'd be wonderful. Yeah,
just so you know, it is at this point like 8 o'clock at night or so. That's fine for you to sort of follow up, but you'll be going to people's houses if you go into the house in the evening.
Again, I wasn't planning on actually going into the house, but having a look around at these people's houses and looking for his car.
Excellent. So let's start. Are you guys having a conversation with Patrick about the eye?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, the eye. Yes, one of the objects that's missing.
Yes.
I may have a lead.
It's an opal. It's about 7 inches wide or so at its largest axis. It's a dark hue, almost black, but there's sort of this ember center that shifts from a yellow to a brown depending on the light. That's why it's sort of called the cat's eye.
Stunning.
Oh yes, it's in the collection. It was it'd been cataloged, and
quite valuable.
Would have been, I imagine. If we only have sort of the notes on it, some initial notes before it was stolen. It was quite a professional job. Whoever did it knew how to break in.
Could we see those notes?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, anytime. I could send him over to the club, or you could come by, whichever works for you.
Oh.
Perhaps we should come by. Haven't been in a while, as you say.
Excellent.
It's tomorrow, okay?
Tomorrow is a working day. I will be there.
Wonderful. Smart. We will, too.
Excellent. Cool. Mr. Nichols, anything you're doing other than keeping a close eye on Delgado?
No, nothing in particular. Okay. Very interested for the dinner party, though.
Yep. Let's go to Mr. Kelly. Chatting with Roger's friends, you would have realized that both neither he nor Helmsworth had a car.
Roger didn't have a car. Oh yes, that's right. He often took the train.
Took the train over there.
Okay.
But you have a car, right?
Yeah, I've got a car, so I can get there. But if I'm, Well, I mean, I can go there and see if there's, like, you know, any anywhere near the houses that could possibly, you know, like police or something like that, maybe a murder scene. I mean, they've already had one of their friends killed, so maybe these two have fallen foul. I don't know. It's not in Soho, the addresses, are they?
No. The first address is in Croydon, in Herberton Road, which is southwest London. And the other address, I don't know. Would you have had Roger, Mr. Church's address?
Well, I would have had it because I had been there.
Right. Would you have shared it with the others? I guess is where I'm going with this.
Given the information available at the time, probably not.
Okay.
Because the focus was on Lewis.
Right. So you're aware there's a Mr. Church. You could certainly, you know, get on a phone and look him up if that's what you're interested in.
Yeah.
All right. But do you wish to go to Mrs. Lewis's first?
Yeah. I'll do that first. I'll go there and just basically drive around the block, you know, take a look, scan the area, and then try to find out where this Mr. Church could be.
All right. Why don't you give me a spot hidden roll?
Spot hidden roll? Oh, I'm actually rolling dice tonight.
Hey. May you do better than others.
Well, I rolled a 0-2. Is that better than others? That's an extreme success, yes.
All right. So as you're driving around, a few things with that extreme success are clear. One is that this neighborhood has, as a percentage of cats per square foot, is way out of whack from what you'd expect. There are cats all around. They're chasing each other through the shrubbery. They're bounding around on the lawn. They are all sort of the epicenter of this cat outbreak is clearly Mrs. Lewis's house. When you drive by her house, as you look, the lights are out on the first and second floor, the ground and first floor, but there's clearly lights on in the upper part of the house, the attic area. With your extreme roll, I'll even give you that there's sort of a strange yellowish tinge to the lights coming out from those upper floors.
Okay. Which is very unusual. I will basically just pull my car up down the road a little bit and slowly work my way back. Every now and then I might kneel down and pat one of the cats as I'm working my way back, just keeping an eye at the window, up at the window, seeing if I could see anything.
There's clearly somebody up there. There's clearly somebody moving around, but it's, you know, you're not really close enough to sort of see anything in particular. You just see a form sort of moving back and forth up there.
If I can get, you know, to near the house, can I hear anything?
Go ahead and give me a listen roll.
Okay. 0-8.
What languages do you speak?
Oh, I mean, I don't think I speak anything but English.
All right, so there's clearly one voice in the with that roll, you can clearly sort of get close enough to the edge of that the house, and sort of you can hear that there's a voice chanting up there. It's in a language you don't understand, but having been sort of, well, I don't know if you would have been. I'll just say that every now and then you do hear the word "bast."
Now, did I ever hear of Roger talking about this whole bast?
I don't before? Know. Roger, did you ever talk about bast?
No, the whole part about Roger potentially becoming a priest of bast, which he is at this point desperately hoping will come true. he would not have shared that part.
So no, you have not heard of any of bast before. If you want to give me an idea roll, a no roll, I guess that's no roll is education. Go ahead and give me an education roll.
Oh, 02. I'm actually rolling okay. that's extreme success.
Yes. You are aware that bast is an Egyptian goddess of cats.
I will make sure to treat all the cats around here then carefully. And are they watching me?
No, they really just seem to be gathering around. You're of no particular interest to them. It is more like, you know, when you go to a music festival and people are sort of happy and chatting and stuff before the music really starts. There's that sort of feeling of like, hey, we're all here for this cool cat festival. I can't wait for the opening act.
Okay. Is there, it's upstairs. In terms of like drain pipes or anything nearby that I think would be easily climbable for me, so I can maybe cross the road. Basically, so I can get a look into the room.
Give me a luck roll.
Yeah, now I'm pushing it, but I was just thinking, I want to see him, but I don't want to. Oh, 98. No.
No, there doesn't seem to be anything nearby, no house or anything that would make you go, all right, well, this is how I'll get in there.
Okay, I'll look around. Don't wear a bracket because good chance if this whole talk of bast is true, then good chance these cats will, in my view, may do something, alert the person in there. Okay, I'm going to find Mr. Church's address, then go and have a look there, then head back to where the others are to let them know what's happening.
All right. You are able to find Mr. Church's house, small drive over. There are, go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
Uh, 61, which I think is a fail. How much luck have I currently got? Spend the 6 points of luck and make it a success.
All right. So the things you notice are, one, there are cats here as well. It's not as dense a population as you previously saw over at Mrs. Lewis's, but there are cats here. These cats clearly notice you. They're clearly looking at the house. They strike you as being, with your background, as nothing, you know, nothing less than being on a stakeout. And with that as well, I'll give you that there are no lights on in the house, but you think there are no lights on the upper parts of the house, but you think you see a light perhaps from a basement area, somewhat obstructed, but you sort of get the right spot to sort of see that there's, looks like there might be a basement light on.
Okay. I might try to get up close to see if I can see enough to see what's going on.
Go ahead, give me a stealth roll.
Uh, 56. What's my stealth? Okay, that's 7 points. I'll spend the luck to make it normal success.
Yum. All this good luck being eaten. All right, so you're able to sort of creep up there. You look into the basement. Go ahead and roll me sanity.
Um, 68, which I think is... with 70, that's definitely a foul.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me a D3. This is probably insulting to Mr. Helmsworth.
Three.
You see Mr. Helmsworth is lying on the floor in the basement. He is clearly dead. He looks like he's been sliced by a machete. In a chair is Mr. Schindler. He looks very bad. He is tied to the chair. He is still unconscious. And standing over him is a thin man with graying, sandy hair.
I'd say he looks like he's still alive, Mr. Schindler. It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. He looks bad. If he's alive, he's badly wounded. But he's clearly not lying on the floor with a small pool of blood coming out of his body like Mr. Helmsworth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll grab my gun, and it's a .32 revolver. And shoot at the guy.
Okay.
So, so that's a hard success, 13.
Mm-hmm.
And, ooh, 8 points of damage.
All right. Hold on a minute. I need to roll a constitution. He passes. He looks in the window briefly and then starts to run towards the stairs.
I'll shoot him again.
I'm going to give him some cover on this one. You're looking through a small window and sort of trying to work your way around. So... go ahead and roll a disadvantage, I guess.
So that was a 20, and my disadvantage makes it a 10. So it's a 20. So that's still a hard success.
Okay. Roll for damage.
5.
And what did you roll the first time?
8.
Okay.
I rolled damage on the last one, and then...
He goes down. You're quite sure you've killed him.
I'll climb in the window, grabbing his shin. No.
This window is too small. This window is too small to climb into.
Okay. I'll head to a door so I can basically break open one of the doors and get in so I can get Mr. Schindler and get him out.
All right. you get inside. And for everybody else, pleasant playing with you all. You can all sign out except for Mr. Kelly. Given where we are, this will end the session.
Okay. All right.
Nice knowing you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
I'll be on my third.
Excellent. You make your way.
Okay, I'll stay connected just to keep the recording going.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Headsets down. Just let me know when you're done.
Oh, no, you can listen. You know what's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Know exactly what's going to happen.
No worries.
Go ahead. So you make your way in the door. That seems great. You're starting to find your way down to the basement. Go ahead and give me a spot hidden roll.
ID 2, so that's a fail.
All right. You're making your way down the stairs. Roger's there. Suddenly the room goes dark with shadows. And from the shadows emerges, they've got lion heads and human bodies. Except for the human bodies have got long claws at the end of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in combat.
Yeah.
They are going to use their claws against you. They have a dexterity of 7.
Do I have a sand roll?
Oh, you know, that's probably a good idea. Let's do that. Yeah, go ahead and roll.
74 fail.
1d6. Keep track of that, Roger, if you make it through this.
So that's 2 points.
Okay.
So you said they've got, what's the dex?
Oh, hold on a minute. No. So they briefly appear, and then they disappear. I missed a little language of what happens if you take out the person who has the power. Yeah, this is still sort of exciting. You briefly see these things, you lose the sanity, but they dissipate back again.
Well, I will grab Roger and drag him out of the house to my car and get out of there.
Okay, I mean, that's not an easy prospect.
No.
Let's just be clear, Roger is a large... Roger, go ahead and roll me, Constitution, I guess?
Constitution. Oh, that is some... I think that's going to be a success. Yes, that's actually a hard success.
All right, so as Mr. Kelly is picking you up and trying to maneuver you in a way that probably offends your dignity. You awake. You still have 1 hit point, right?
Yes.
Yes, you awake. And you so go ahead and roll me a D6 for your sanity loss for seeing those things. Oh, that's retroactive.
I did succeed on my sanity roll.
Oh, then it's strangely only 1.
Okay.
Roll me a sanity roll for seeing Mr. Helmsworth dead on the floor.
Success.
Nothing. which is weird. Yes, you are being picked up by Mr. Kelly, who you somewhat know, but not where he's putting his hands right now. And you see on the floor is Mr. Church. He has 2 gunshot wounds into him.
Mr. Kelly? What? Mr. Church, The eye. He must have the eye. You must retrieve it, sir.
He's dead. Okay. I'll put him back down then. And grab. Thump. Try to find the eye that he's talking about.
As you poke around his body, it's not that hard to find. In the pocket of his Kerrigan sweater is an opal.
I've got it, and I'll slip it into my pocket and say, let's get out of here.
Well done, Mr. Kelly. I don't know what would have happened had we forgotten and left that behind. what about Mr. Helmsworth?
He's dead.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Once we are back at the club, I think we should notify the authorities in terms of anonymously whatever's gone on here. You can explain it to me later.
Perhaps a doctor rather than the club, please.
Well, I thought that you'd have doctors in the club.
Yes, let's stop with the two of you make your way up the stairs. You get to the door, and as you look outside, there are cats. They are all staring at you. And one of them opens its mouth and says, "Return it." And the voice, which only you will recognize, Roger, is clearly Mrs. Lewis's. And we'll stop there.